Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." Now we're going to pause right there. Why do we want to be disciples? We'll learn about that in just a minute. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can know the truth and we can be in relationship actually with the truth. So Lord God, we're grateful. We're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. High five somebody and tell them just to hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on. Can we give it up for this amazing worship team? Oh, man. Make me want to sing. Hold on. Again, my name is Pastor Trent. If you don't know me, hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. I've got to stand in today for Pastor Stephen and Pastor Zai. They're actually out in Israel, having a good time. And man, I'm not going to tell all that they're getting to do. They've taken a whole bunch of pictures. I've seen a whole bunch. I'm going to let them tell you about it. But they are having a good time out there. We love y'all. And I came today and I've decided that I'm not going to sing so Pastor Steve doesn't get mad at me. I'm not going to sing anymore. The other part wasn't on tape. Hi, you didn't see it. But we're going to jump in today. Pastor Steve actually mentioned last week that we preach in these things called series where we just break down one topic for probably about 4 to 6 weeks, and we hit on this part of the topic and that part of the topic. And we do that because we could spend 4 to 6 hours today hitting on one topic, but I figured you guys wouldn't like that much and that you'd probably leave during the first part of the topic. So we break it up in about 4 to 6 weeks, even though it's probably a preacher's dream to be up here for about 4 hours. Just giving you everything that God told us about it. He said this, and then he said that, and he said this, and he said to do that. But we're not going to do that for you or to you today. So we preach in these series, but I want to take a break from series to kind of teach us how do we digest these a little bit better. Because it's a lot to hold on to. It's a lot to kind of get into our brains. And if I'm honest, I don't even have the best time just going from one subject to the other and one passage of scripture to the other. Like, wait, I thought we were talking about that, and then we're talking about this, and I just need a little time to get it. Well, I want to teach you a little technique today about how to hold on to God's word. Somebody say, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. In our opening scripture here, John 8:31, says, "Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." But wait, why should we even want to be disciples of God? If this is your first time, you're probably wondering that. And that's an okay question to ask. Why does it matter if I am a disciple of Jesus? Well, I think the benefit actually comes in the second part of that verse. It says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here's what I found. That a lot of us are actually in a bondage and we don't even know it. A bondage to fear, a bondage to regret, a bondage to yesterday, a bondage to insecurity. We're in a bondage that we don't even realize. But the word is saying that if we hold to the teachings and the life of Jesus, then we'll know the truth, and the truth will actually set us, somebody say free. It'll set us free. But there's another word in that verse that I want to talk about. It says that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And a lot of us are thinking that, oh yeah, if we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I actually had music teacher who used to talk about, when we get in class, he would talk about studying to get things not only in our frontal lobe in the short term, but we have to get it in the hippocampus. We have to get it in our knower. In the knower, I know a little bit of something. All the biology people probably looking at me like, you said that all kinds of wrong. But it said, if we know the truth and the truth will set us free, I want to challenge you in that definition of know. I want to tell you that if you, not know, but if you know the truth, when we know the truth in our hearts, that truth will then set us free. But we first got to hold on to the word of God. And what I've found is that it's actually kind of hard to hold on to some things. It's hard to even hold on to some routines. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are almost exactly halfway through the year of 2017. Yeah. Yeah. We're almost halfway through. Question for you, how are those resolutions looking? Some of us are killing the game. We've lost the weight that we wanted to lose. Some of us have picked up the gains that we were trying to pick up, pumping the iron and everything. We're good. We're looking good, feeling good. Some of us are about 6 or 7 books through. We're only halfway through 6 months of the year, so you are killing it. The other half of us, we found the weight that we lost earlier in January. We lost the gains that we got the first 2 weeks of January. We're back down to the scrawny weight. Some of us, I don't want to talk about me. Anyways. Some of us, the books that we were looking to read, we're halfway through the book that we started at the beginning of the year, half a year ago. It's hard. It is hard to keep up with that routine sometimes, and it's even harder sometimes with keeping up with the word of God. How do I apply this to my life? So that's what we're going to dig into today. How do I hold on to the word of God that I'm learning day in and day out, week in and week out when I come to church? And not just how do I hold on to a series, but how do I hold on to the word of God? Amen. And here's what I found, that the word of God has to be the foundation of your life. And that's your first thing you can write down. Make it the foundation of my life. Because absolutely everything on your life is on a foundation. But the quality of that thing is based on the quality of the foundation. Think about your family. What is your family built on? Is it built on trust and love? Is it built on payback? What is your marriage built on? What are your friendships built on? What is your thought life built on? Is it built on I can't do this? Is it built on I have to prove this person wrong? Is it built on lifting up God? What is it built on? Because that foundation, it really, 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 really matters. In Matthew 7:24, it says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. It's a solid foundation. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish." I didn't call you that. The Bible did. "Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Here's the thing. It is guaranteed that the rain and the storms and the wind is coming. It is guaranteed that those things are going to happen. Bad times, hard times will happen in your life. But the question is, what is my life built on? Some of you have already experienced a storm just in this first 6 months of 2017. From unexpected deaths in the family to unexpected layoffs on the job. Just the unexpected in and of itself is and can be a storm. What will dictate if it's a devastating storm is what you've built your life upon. Have you built it upon sand? Have you built it upon something that shifts? Or have you built it on the solid rock, the solid foundation that is the word of God. But honestly, it's easy to build your life on the wrong things. It's just so easy because there's so many other things that are so much, they seem so much more accessible. There's a couple of things that is wrong to build your life on. They're bad foundations. One of those things is popular culture. Popular culture is a bad foundation. Why? Because the popular is here today and what? Gone tomorrow. It just leaves. It's fleeting. Fads come today and they leave. How do I know? Because I've seen in my Facebook where they show you those pictures from like 10 years ago when you first joined Facebook and I had my pants that were the size of two of me. And God bless the belt that I was wearing because it did a miracle in holding them up. It was weird. I was not big enough to fit them, but I wore those because it was popular. Big shirts, long tees. Anyone remember long tees? Terrible, terrible trend. Terrible, terrible idea. Someday we're going to look back and say, like, man, my jeans were too small. Some of you are saying it right now. I see you, and I'm judging you the same way you're judging me. But the popular, it comes and it goes, but the truth of God never changes. So it's a terrible foundation to build our life on. And Exodus 23, verse 2, it says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. At some point, we have to ask ourselves the question, how much of the secular am I going to allow in my life? I get it. Everything that you watch won't be TBN or CBN or 700 Club or whatever your cup of tea for Christian broadcasting is. It won't all be that. I get it. But how much of it are you going to allow to affect your life? Because you allow so much to affect and it will begin to infect your life. How much of it are you going to allow? Now, for some of us, the popular culture isn't really a big thing. Like, I don't even do social media. I don't even watch TV. I don't mess with none of that. So popular culture isn't really your struggle with a foundation, but perhaps some of us have traded truth for tradition. Tradition is another terrible foundation to build your life on. Somebody say amen. And I realize it could be hard to say amen at that point, because there's nothing wrong with tradition in and of itself. It's beautiful. I love hymns. I joke about it a lot, but I love the church that I grew up in. Those are some of my earliest memories of seeing people chase after God and go after God. But when we fall in love with a way of doing things more than being effective at doing them, we've traded the truth for tradition. Some of us, we look at it, we look at our church and we say, don't change my windows. Don't change my clothes. Check this one out. Don't change my songs. And it's cool. We were worshiping to that song 15 years ago. But are you playing it for nostalgia or are you playing it to encounter God? What are we doing it for? Mark 7, verse 8 says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to what kind of traditions? Human traditions. Here's the thing. We just can't, we can't change the wrong things. And so we've got popular culture. We've got tradition. Those are terrible foundations. For some of us, neither one of those are a challenge for us. And we just have this thing where we say, I thought about it, and I don't think that makes sense. And you've built your life on reason. Now, hear me, skeptic. Keep on being a skeptic. Seriously, keep asking questions. God is not intimidated by your questions. I'll say it again. God is not intimidated by your questions. Keep asking. The problem comes, though, when we halt our obedience because we don't understand. If God is saying go, but we say, no, I don't get that. That's where the problem lies. I think I've heard the saying before that delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. When we build our lives on reason, It just leads to chaos. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that seems like, this seems like it makes more sense than what the Bible says. There's a lot of redefining even going on today in our culture. We're redefining things that the Bible is not so unsilent or unclear about. But we say that doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to follow that. But the end of that verse says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. It leads to destruction because we're leaning on our own understanding. And there's actually a verse in Proverbs 3, and I don't have it in the notes, that says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And there's a promise connected to that he will direct your paths. I don't know about you, but I want to be under the direction of a God who's bigger than me. If I'm waiting for him, if I want to be on the same understanding, on the same wavelength of God's understanding, then I want him to be the size of me. I don't want a God the size of me. I want a God who is bigger, who can see further, what? Faster than I can. So I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And similar to reason, some of us have built our lives on feelings. Oh, that doesn't feel right. I didn't like how that felt. I don't know. Here's the thing, that feelings are great indicators, but they are terrible foundations. You can feel that something's not right, but verify how? Through the Word of God. I can feel that this person might not be for me, but verify. They may just trying to get me to grow up, be trying to get me to grow up. Feelings. Feelings will, listen to me, feelings will fail you all the time. they'll fail you. In the book of Judges, it is a tragic book. It's just like failure after failure from the children of Israel. It's a really kind of sad book to go through. And don't get me wrong, there's some good stuff in it. But the children of Israel, they wanted a king, but they already had a king, but they didn't want God as a king. So they told God, we want a king. And just king after king, fail, and failed, F-E-L-L, and failed, F-A-I-L-E-D, failed. They failed just time after time because they wouldn't take on God as their ruler. Listen to this. This is the last chapter, the last verse in the book of Judges. Judges 21:25. It says, at that time, there was no king in Israel. Nobody could make it. People did whatever they felt like doing. Your feelings are not a foundation to build your life on. So what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves two questions to make sure that our foundations are secure. The first question is this: what do I do when I don't understand? What am I going to do when I read the word and I don't understand why I have to do that? Why I have to think that way? Why I have to forgive this person? What do we do when we don't understand? And here's what we do. We have to be like the writer of Romans 3, I believe it's verse 4, who says, let God be true and every human being a liar. Like, God is true. He's in control. There's a reason why he's God. And I'm going to trust him, even though I don't get it all the way. Second question is this: what do I do when I read it, I understand, but I don't like it? Because how many of you can be real and say you've read or heard some things from the Bible? I've read it. I get it. I know exactly what it's telling me to do. But I don't like it. What do we do when we read it and we realize that who he's telling us to be, that is not my life right now? We have to look at it and we have to get this into our, not knower, but into our knower, into our heart, that we can't change the word, but we can change our life. And we can line and align ourselves with what God has. Because hear me, sometimes understanding is right on the other side of obedience. that when I go through it, I might not get it all the way, but God, I believe that your word says that, God, all things are working together for my good. This don't look good right now, but I'll keep on walking. I'll keep on walking. And it's crazy, the understanding that you'll get on the other side that's not only going to help you, but it's going to help everyone around you when you tell them about it. So we have to make it the foundation of our lives. We have to make the word of God the foundation of our lives if we're going to hold on to it. But after we make it the foundation, we have to make it the first part of our lives. Make God's word the first part of your daily life. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." First things are very important to God. First things are important. That's why we bring our first fruits. I want to challenge you to bring the first 15 minutes of your day to God. You're probably looking at me like, "Woo, it's a little much." First 15 day, I have a hard enough time getting out of the house to go to work. I promise you, if you would dedicate these first 15 minutes to God, and we're going to break it down into exactly how to do that, then you will see yourself just holding on to the word of God so much more, with so much more understanding, so much more is what we Christians call revelation about it. That just means an understanding of the word of God. So what you're going to do in the first 15 minutes, and you can write it down, you should write it down. I would say it's okay if you don't, but it's not okay. Write it down. The first 5 minutes of this 15-minute time period, you're going to spend in the Word of God. First 5 minutes in the Word of God. And how do you do that? If you're looking for practical ways to spend 5 minutes of the first part of your day in the Word of God, I want you to download, it's available on Apple and Android, the YouVersion Bible app. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful resource just to have the Word of God in your life. Each day, there's a verse of the day. And along with the verse of the day, there's a devotional that you can check out with that. And that devotional will just break down for you a little bit more what that verse is talking about and what exactly it means and how you can apply that to your life. It is a great, great, great resource. Now, if you're wondering, that's a little much. This is a lot. This is a verse and a devotional as much. It's cool. I'm not judging you. Read one verse in the New Testament. Just one. Maybe about the coming of Jesus. Maybe read about the life of Jesus and some of the miracles that he performed. And then maybe read something about the life of the disciples and how God was still performing miracles in the life of human beings, just like you and me. That sounds like a little much. It's cool. Read one psalm. Read one psalm about how to worship God and how good God is and all that stuff. Read one psalm. That sounds a little intimidating. It's cool. Read one proverb. get a little bit of wisdom today. What am I saying? Something is better than nothing. Yeah. Read something. Spend your first 5 minutes in the Word of God. Why? Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." I'm telling you, y'all, it's a dark world out there. It's a dark world with many dark influences, but the Bible says that God's word is a light for my feet so I can see where I'm going. I won't stumble over that relationship that I was never supposed to be a part of. Eek. I won't walk into that job that was never meant for me. He'll show me where to go. Spend your first 5 minutes in the word of God. Second 5 minutes, you want to spend it in worship. Spend the second 5 minutes. Remember, we're spending the first 15 minutes of our day in the word, but we spend the second 5 minutes in worship. For some of you, that is easy. Oh, you can spend all day just soaking in the presence of God. Oh, God, I love that song. You have no rival. God, you have no equal, and it's good. You're all good. You can stay there forever. I know if you noticed, I'm one of those people. I could just stay there forever. For some of us, you're wondering, that's a bit much. 5 minutes, what am I going to do for 5 minutes? And here's the thing, just turn on a song. Turn on a worship song. And I challenge you, just turn it on and let it play through. For some of you, that's how this morning was for you. You came in facing God knows what. Children acting up. And probably a gaslight came on right when you thought you were going to be on time. And you figured, I'm not going to be stuck, so I'll just be late. Get some gas. And there was a lot that you had to deal with before you came in here today. But what you probably experienced as you were in here, as worship was going on, was that a perspective shift just kind of happened. You probably walked in with this huge problem and just no real sight of God. But what worship does for us is that it switches that perspective. And then suddenly I've got this big God and this little problem. And he can handle that because he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I could ever ask, think, or imagine. Psalms 34:1 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I like another translation that says, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why does that matter? Because you hear the voice of the enemy all the time. He's shouting all the time. The Bible says that he's roaring like a lion. So I might as well roar the praises of God. Huh? I might as well say that my God is greater than anything that the enemy is saying. Spend the second 5 minutes in worship. The last 5 minutes of this 15-minute time period that you're dedicating to God at the top of your day, you're going to spend the last 5 minutes in prayer. Spend the last 5 minutes in prayer. Some of you can pray for 21 days straight. It is nothing for you. It's all good. God bless your heart. But some of us, 5 minutes, you're thinking, what am I going to talk about for 5 minutes? I don't talk to my friends for 5 minutes. Some of us, I don't talk to my spouse for 5 minutes. You ever? Anyways. What am I going to talk about for 5 minutes? I think it shows us what to talk about in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's what you're going to do. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. We're going to spend a little time on that. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. What do you need? Now, most of us, we're able to write off this list real fast. I need a job. God, I need more money. God, I need a new job with more money. God, I need a new car. God, I need a spouse. God, I need what? You can go through this list. It's easy. God wants to know. He wants to know, what do you need? Some of us are believing for a healing that we have not seen yet. God, I need this healing. Some of us are waiting for just wholeness from being broken for so long. God, my heart has been broken. God, my heart is broken. And I know that you can fix it. But God, I'm telling you what I need. And the second thing it says to thank him for all that he's done. Now, this is what I want you to think about. Because it's really easy to go through the what I need. But what are you grateful for? Some of us, it's not the car of our dreams that we're driving right now. I get it. It's a point A to point B type of car. But God, I thank you for this vehicle because I remember when I was shoving one foot and laying the other one, Chevrolet. When I was trying to get there, I remember, God, when I remember my lonely days. And God, I thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my loved ones. Thank you for my family. They get on my nerves, but God, I thank you for them. What are you grateful for? God, this isn't the house of my dreams yet. But God, thank you that I have somewhere to live. Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And I'm telling you, you've probably gone through about 6 or 7 minutes at that point. But here's the promise. In verse 7 of Philippians 4, it says, then, after you've done these things, after you've prayed, you've told him what you need, you've thanked him, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Man, our God is good. He is amazing. So I've made it the foundation of my life, and I've learned how to put God's word first in my life. Now, here's the next thing that you have to do, and what you might notice is all of these are you. You make it the foundation. You put it first. This is work that you have to do. You're not leaving here today without a homework assignment. These are all your homework. Hope you've been paying attention. But what if I said that you are actually in control of how much God is in your life? What if God is not some jerk who just bust into your life, just, I'm here, worship me. What if you were in control of how much you had of him? You are. The third thing that I want you to do is make it grow. Make the word of God grow and take root in your life. You, make it grow. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. But keep that verse up. I think we might fly past one word a little too fast. Let it grow. Let it dwell in you richly. We have to let the word do its thing. So I wanted to illustrate this for you just a little bit. I have my assistant today. Y'all give it up for Patrick Chandler. Y'all give it up for Patty Chan. Woo. I'm going to take the tea back there. Cool. Awesome, 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 awesome. So what we have here is a tea bag, which represents the word of God. Word of God, yeah. Somebody say word of God. And we have a hot cup of water, which represents your life. Somebody says, my life. Word of God, my life. There we go. And so some of us are just, we're just dippers. We just dip it every now and again. We come to church on Sunday. It's cool. We just kind of dip it. It changes a little bit. It's not the same anymore, but I wouldn't call that tea exactly. You come in, it's just 75 minutes, and we work really hard on the worship set, and I wish it did more, but it doesn't. It's cool. You just take a little dip. Just come in, take a little dip, go home, just dip. Dip and leave. Dip, dip, dip. You're changing a little bit. You don't look the same anymore. Things changing a little bit. But what it is, it's our job. As the leaders of this church, and hey, if you are in this church, if you are on the Dream Team, you are a leader of this church. It's our job as leaders just to get you dipping a little bit more. Just to get you dipping. So what does a dip look like here? What does a dip look like for a Christian? Well, the first dip that I want you to do is get a translation, get a Bible translation that you like. There are actually different translations. Some of you are wondering, why are there translations? That's a good question. Tell your neighbor, that's a good question. There are different translations because the Bible, believe it or not, actually was not written in English. What? No, was not written in English. That Old Testament, a lot of it written in Hebrew, the New Testament written in Greek. And we've got these things, and the Bible is actually translated into English around the 1600s by King James, where we get our King James version of the Bible. And it's a really beautiful version. It's really beautiful. That's where you have your this and these and thous and yees and yeezies and such. It's a beautiful translation. And there are two types of translations that exists, or two categories of translations, I should say. There's the formal equivalency. By the way, welcome to seminary. I'm your teacher for today. There's the formal equivalency, and that's the things like your King James Version and your New King James Version and your English Standard Version and things like that. And what they did is they took the Hebrew and the Greek and they translated it word for word, word for word. It says this, I write this. And it's a very, very super accurate translation. It's good. Sometimes it's a little hard to understand with all the these and thous and thuses and things. But I like it too because I kind of grew up on Bible like that. I like how in Romans it says to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I kind of read it in the English that it's in. By the way, I kind of feel the urge to say that God is not from England. I know it can seem like it because that's a really popular translation, but you want to get a translation that you like. The second type of translation category that I want to talk about is a functional equivalency. And as opposed to translating the Bible word for word, they translated it thought by thought, which, and they put it into a very conversational tone. And that's where we get versions like our New Living Translation, which is an excellent, excellent version for devotional and things like that, because it's just so easy to understand. You got your New Living Translation and your Good News Translation, and there's another one, the TEV, and by this point I've forgotten what it means, but I remembered a lot of translations for you, so you better give me my props. But there's these translations. Thank you. Two people love me. But we have these translations. Get a translation that you like, one that you understand, one that really works for you. The second way that we're going to take a dip is we're going to get a study Bible. Get a study Bible. Write it down. Get a study Bible. Just get a study Bible. I'm probably one of the only people today that's telling you to get a study Bible. I can carry around my phone. It's got the internet, and I can scroll through verses really fast. Why do I need a study Bible? Well, a study Bible, it has all the verses in it, but on the bottom it has the commentaries from biblical scholars, where I just don't know everything about. I don't really get everything what it's talking about. I have a resource right there in the Bible, in the book, and I'm still disconnected to where sometimes when I read the Bible, I have the urge to go scroll through Instagram if I'm reading on my phone. And I know I'm not the only one. Don't judge me. But get a study Bible. And the last way that you can take a dip is, and I want you to shout when I say it. I see some shirts in the room. Join a Connect group. Come on, you can shout a little better than that. Join a Connect group. Connect groups launch today, and there are groups for every single person, no matter what it is that you want to do. There are men's groups, there's women groups, there's financial groups, there's fitness groups, there's outreach groups, there's student groups, there are all kinds of groups. Join a group, because here's the thing. Some of this will never get on the inside of you unless you start talking about it with somebody else. You just won't get it. And I don't care what kind of group it is. You may not have a group that necessarily has a curriculum. I heard that we have a wall climbing group. That's cool. Killing it. Wall climbing group. But maybe you come to that group, and after you've read in your YouVersion Bible that we talked about that you're going to download if you haven't already downloaded it, you might come up on a verse that you just didn't understand. Like, hey, I was reading today, and I read something about a talking donkey. What is that about? I didn't get that all the way. And you come together, and you talk about it. And there's understanding that comes from that. And after you've joined a Connect group, right? And you've gotten a study Bible, and you can dig in a little bit more. And you've gotten a translation that you really like, that you really understand. Now look, you're a full glass of tea now, baby. You are killing the game. You don't look the same. You don't even taste the same. You taste a little different. Something, you're transformed. You're not the same anymore, because you've made it grow and multiply in your life. And this is where Christianity gets fun. Because you've made it the foundation. Your life is built on the foundation of the Word. And you've made it the first part of your day. And you're letting it grow. You're letting the Word of God grow richly in your life. So you have this Word. But now what do I do with it? And here's what you do with it. I don't know if you knew, but there is a fight going on. And it's not a fight against. There's a fight going on for your soul. There's an enemy who hates you. That's a strong word. Well, that's the word. He hates you. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So what do we do with this word that we have now? We make it a weapon for the challenges of our life. The word is a weapon. You know, we have this tendency to make the word of God, or to make Christianity and life just, we take this really passive kumbaya approach to it. It's a fight. There's a war going on. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. The day of evil has come, and I challenge you, it's already here. And we need to be able to stand because, again, we have an enemy who is roaring like a lion trying to take us out. And it goes through all of the different parts of the armor. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the shield of faith. And it says that we need that shield of faith because the devil, the enemy, he's a punk and he's just shooting little darts at us. It says that he's shooting fiery darts. Just pew. Yeah. He didn't have the bravery to get up close, so he just shoots little darts. Just pew. Get him. And what do we do with our shield of faith? We block it. It's like, nope, nope, fear, nope. Come on, oppression, nope. Depression, nope, not me. Come on. What is it? Temptation, nope, not me. And then it says this, let's go back. 6:13. And in verse 17 it says, take the sword of the Spirit. It's the only weapon that we have. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what do we do with it? We're not just on the defensive, but we're on the offensive, just tearing down strongholds, tearing down lies of the enemy. You said that I was alone, but no, the word of God says that he will never leave me nor forsake me. You said that he didn't like me. Well, no, he calls me a friend of God. We have the word of God. Just the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? We have the enemy saying that you're too scared to do that. No, the word of God says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of, get this, of self-control, which means that no matter what I couldn't hold on to in the past, I can hold on to it today because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a sword. Now I get it. It's not a bow and arrow. It's not something that we use from afar, which means that we have to face the challenges of life. We have to get up a little close to them. Tear them down. You have a weapon. In Matthew 4, verse 3. In fact, in the last part of Matthew 3, chapter 3, Jesus is baptized and says that the heavens split open and God came down and said, that's my son, that's my boy, in whom I am well pleased. And then right after that, he went into the wilderness. That's how life is sometimes. Come out of a great big God moment, then we go into the hardest moment of our life. The Bible says that he was fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. And then the Bible tells us a really important piece of information. It says that he fasted. He did not eat for 40 days or 40 nights. And then the Bible says this, and Jesus was hungry. Duh. But think about it. How do you get when you're hungry? You get a little hangry? Think about it. Husbands, how do your wives get when they're hungry? Wives, how do your husbands get? Hey, we're going to keep it on both sides. You feel just a little vulnerable. And so just at probably his weakest moment, the devil came to Jesus. In Matthew 4, verse 3, it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But every time Jesus answered, it is written. You may hear the enemy come into you telling, why would you trust God about this? It is written that he won't leave me. Why would you ever trust God in this? You've never seen him. Well, the Bible tells me that the sufferings of my right now are not compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in my tomorrow. We have a sword. You know, we open with that verse in John 8 that says, you hold to my word and you'll be my disciples. And it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I'm here to tell you today that the truth is not a concept or a statement, but the truth is a person and his name is Jesus. Jesus said about himself that I am the way, the truth and the life. If we hold on to his word, we can know Jesus, and Jesus will set us free.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.